Hello there, you're listening to the Watson's Daily Podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Thursday, the 26th of January. Today, I am joined by Jordan Lancaster, who is a Watson's Daily ambassador. Hi there, Jordan. How are you today?
Not bad at all, Peter. Yourself?
Yeah, all good, all good. So what have you got for the listeners today, then?
Well, I'm quite intrigued by the story you've included about the no confidence vote coming up in the Greek Parliament.
Yep.
This is considered Greece's Watergate. The Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, has been accused of organizing mass wiretaps of political allies and foes by the leader of the opposition party, Alexis Tsipras, himself a former prime minister. And it's Tsipras who's tabled the vote of non-confidence, calling the current situation an Orwellian dystopia.
Fantastic. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this motion has triggered a three-day parliamentary debate with the vote expected on Friday. Although, as you rightly commented, New Democracy, Mr. Mitsotakis's party, is a centre-right coalition, which has 156 of 300 seats in the parliament. So the motion is unlikely to pass, but the overwhelming opposition support is expected to cause instability in the country. And this is an unusual story, Peter. I was intrigued that you chose it because it's more a geopolitical story than a commercial or business story. But once we drill down, there's a really interesting aspect of tech here, because the wiretapping, if you want to call it that, is all undertaken by zero-tech click high-tech spyware. Which is produced, it's called Pegasus, and it's produced by the mysterious NSO group of technology companies, which turns out to be an Israeli firm. And the management of the firm has just moved to London. This was reported on earlier this month. So the scandal's been going along since August, getting worse and worse. But it's interesting that NSO Group has moved their management headquarters from Israel to London. It's also, the firm has also been blacklisted by the Biden administration. So the move from Israel to London could be associated with that. But it's quite interesting from a tech perspective. The Greek government denies purchasing or using the Predator software, but it clearly is being used there, according to many sources. This can turn a mobile phone into a listening device, which then activates microphones and cameras. Now, what this means is that if I'm a source and I speak on the phone or send an email to a journalist or a politician or member of high-ranking member of the military, just by contacting them, my contact is seen. So it has all kinds of implications for defense, for security, because previously spyware had always been involving some form of clicking. But people know not to click. So this, the zero-click software is really a game changer in terms of this industry. Whether it's a good game changer or not, I don't know. But nonetheless, it's a big political embarrassment for the Greek government. And the country is gearing up right now for general elections in the spring. So even if they pass successfully through the non-confidence vote, what it means for the upcoming elections is yet to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, I included it today. Generally speaking, I tend to not go down the route of political news, mainly because it's often very speculative. I think also it's, I find it's harder to read. I mean, yeah, harder to see what's going on in the future, because you kind of have to be in it, I think, to really understand. And I'm not in it. However, I do believe that it is an important, you can't really, I don't think you can really separate economics and politics, because the two are often very closely linked. But I really do think that that something like this is worth saying. It's about, obviously, about a part of Europe. We haven't heard much, you know, recently over here anyway, about Greece. So I thought this was an interesting one to include. I thought that what you said was very interesting as well, and it's good that you've outlined the you know, what the scandal, you know, what the scandal is currently. But ultimately, as you said, it looks highly unlikely that Tsipras will actually be able to get this past Parliament. So I almost didn't include it, because I thought it's not, you know, it's not a non-story, but it's not got a conclusion particularly. And I thought that, well, really, the only time people are really going to want to know about it or sit up is if it turns out that the vote goes against what was expected, then it will be interesting. But for the moment, as you said, you know, the numbers look completely wrong for that. So,
well, I think he's okay for Friday for this vote. Yeah. But there are storm clouds on the horizon for the spring elections. Mm-hmm. This is sowing seeds of concern in the minds of Greek voters. Mm. But I think more than that, if we want to step back from the Greek scenario and look at this Pegasus software, it does make you wonder what is going on in countries where the political situation is highly polarized. Mm. We've seen a lot of unrest recently in Brazil and in Israel. And you wonder, could spyware like this be being used in other democracies? If it's being used potentially in Greece, if there are accusations being used there, the Guardian today commented that other countries, even Mexico, have question marks about whether this software is being used with senior political military figures and journalists in their countries. Mm. And it raises a lot of disturbing questions for all of us as politics enters this current post-pandemic phase of extreme polarization. We've seen this in the US, for example, where the countries are almost evenly split between two opposing views. We saw it in our country with Brexit. It's very destabilizing, and we don't like anything that isn't stable for the economic and financial markets. So stability is what it's all about for prosperity, in commercial terms. And this is just a bit unnerving. Yeah, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd agree. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously this is in Greece, but of course, who knows? I mean, maybe some out there are thinking, wow, that looks good. I'm going to go and buy this stuff and I'm going to spy myself. So, I mean, hopefully that won't happen, but I think it might. you know, given that, I mean, I suppose it's relatively successful and it's taken this long to discover, but
it's maybe, unsettling. Yeah. It's unsettling, I'll tell you that much.
Anyway, on that note, I think it might be a good note to move on to the next story,
which is also a tech story. So
it is also
on the same theme.
Yep. So this is all about Apple. And Apple particularly taking on Google, and Apple is going to try to focus on three areas The first one is mapping, second one is search, and the third one is advertising. So with mapping, actually Google pays Apple to be its what is it actually called? You know, like search, your search browser.
Okay? Search engine.
Yeah, search engine. And so when you're on your phone, if you've got an Apple, you know, if you've got an iPhone, you'll go on there and, you know, you'll see the Safari icon, that compass icon. But that is essentially Google in disguise. You know, and Google plays.
That's interesting. I'm a Mac user, and I didn't know that fact. Yeah. Thanks, Peter, for explaining that.
That's right. So they Alphabet pays Apple so between $8 billion and $12 billion a year to be the default search engine. That's a lot of money. Right.
Wow.
Let that sink in. That is how much it's worth. Right. So anyway. So if you, you know, with regards to this story, they're looking at maps. So they introduced maps, 2012, it was a bit rubbish. Google Maps was still way better. But things have changed, it's improved. And so that's really good. So it's looking at that. Another one is search. So it is doing its own, it's got its own project called, and you're going to be astounded by this name, Apple Search, that they want to use instead of Google. Now, of course, they could kind of shoot themselves in the foot here, because if they switched over from Google, they'll lose people. But what is interesting here is they're talking about Google, Apple Apps, it will be a really good thing, and it will develop into something really good, and that you won't actually miss Google that much. And what they're actually talking about with regard to Apple Search is, rather than, say, Google being very much driving you according to algorithms and gathering information so that advertisers can target people more effectively, if they actually made a version that was less like that and more kind of pure search, it may actually be more popular than Google. Now, for many of you out there, you might be thinking, well, you know, this is all a bit far-fetched, isn't it? I mean, you know, Google's massive, etc. Now, I am an old man. I mean, contrary to popular belief, I'm an old man, right? And I will admit that I remember the days when Google wasn't the one that ruled the roost. You had AOL, you had Yahoo
back in the day,
and even I know this is really. Looking at there was something called Ask Jeeves that was around a long time ago.
Yes. I know. I'm showing. I'm nervous about speaking because I'm showing my age. But I remember Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves.
I've outed myself now.
There you go. See, there's Ask Jeeves. All these things happened, but especially I'd say Yahoo was like the really big one, and Google came along, and I think everyone thought, nah, it's not going to work. But now look at it. Right, you know, this is what happens, and I think that it's clearly it's done very well over the intervening years, but that is not to say that someone, you know, another company can't knock it off its perch. So if anyone can, and anyone has the financial firepower to actually do this, it's Apple. So it will be interesting to see what kind of inroads they make in search. So that's the second. So first one is mapping. Second one is search. But the third one, which is got even bigger potential, is advertising. Now, Alphabet, which is the owner of Google, it makes over 80% of its revenue. 80% of its revenue, digital advertising. Remember that Apple introduced a new privacy policy, I think, in April 2021 or something. And so they did that, and ever since, all the Snap, Google, a lot of these, they've seen their traffic fall dramatically because of the whole thing about Apple. By default, you had to opt in. Apple gave you the choice to opt into something. So the default was you're not in it. And I think that is particularly interesting. And that has resulted in Snap, Google, etc., seeing their advertising revenues fall. On the other hand, Apple is seeing its advertising revenues going up. So I think that it would just require a few tweaks here and there, and Apple could, if it really wanted to, be a real force here, in terms of the advertising. It's getting bigger, but it's getting bigger from a relatively low base. So this, we could see another sea change, and who's to say that will Google have much of a search engine in a few years? Will it be someone else? I don't know. But I mean, Google has done pretty well for, say, the last 20 years. So, these things are meant to be broken. But what do you think? I mean, I know, obviously, I've dredged up some real old school stuff there. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think it's quite interesting that they've moved into the digital marketing from being a search engine. That's an incredibly good business decision, because they have such a platform for the digital marketing already. Why not do it themselves rather than allow others to do it on their platform? Mm. That's a very good move, I think. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this is all part, of course, of Apple trying to move more into software services, because they are traditionally a hardware, that's where they get most of their revenues from. It's still the majority is from the iPhone, but its services business is growing all the time. And if it can concentrate on these three things, then I'm sure there is plenty of upside for the future. So in my opinion. So, yeah. So there we go. I guess we might as well end it there. Just wanted to say thank you very much for your thoughts today.
Well, thank you, Peter, as well, for your thoughts and for inviting me on the podcast. It's always an honor.
No problem. And always good to talk about some sort of, intrigue, like you were saying, about the whole kind of, the stuff that's going on behind the scandal in Greece at the moment. So all very exciting stuff.
Yeah, very James Bond.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you very much indeed. The only thing that is left to say is that there's it's Thursday today. I am going to be doing the call for silver and gold subscribers to Watson's Daily. This is, we get to talk about I summarize what's happened over the last week, how the stories have developed, and then we talk about, I give everyone a chance to ask any questions, to which I will try and answer, and then after that we have time put aside for debate. But anyway, so there we go. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Jordan. Thank you very much indeed, listeners, for listening, and we will be back again tomorrow. So many thanks. Bye.
Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Bye.